This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
It is BFM 89.9, the business station. Good morning and welcome to Open for Business. I'm Rich Bradbury. This is the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. And this morning on the show, I'm speaking with Keith Lowe, the CEO of Royalty, a local startup that runs a grab-and-go concept restaurant that offers a fresh take on Malaysia's beloved roti canai. Now, Royalty prides itself on its innovative approach, featuring an automated roti canai pressing system, together with a customizable drinks station. Their journey began with the success of their first outlet at Starling Mall in Damansara, serving over 30,000 wraps to date. Last February, Royalty celebrated the grand opening of their flagship outlet at New Central in KL. And for some background on Keith, no stranger to the startup world, he's had multiple ventures before Royalty, namely Creative Lab, a company that helps you visualize your dream home, Cookie Nation, a cookie producing company, and Asia Snowflake Group, a company that produces Taiwanese desserts. On the show, Keith will be giving us a sense on the concept of starting up a contemporary culinary store, the current products and services available at Royalty, the challenges faced in the F&B industry, and the foreseeable expansion plans moving forward. And in the meantime, if you have any thoughts or questions, get us on our U-Mobile WhatsApp number 018-789-8899. Reach out to us on X at BFM Radio. Keith, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Richard. Good to be back.
It's nice to see you. How are you doing?
I'm good.
You're no stranger then to the startup world. In and out, moving things around, yep. Trying different verticals.
Yep, correct.
Do you think you've finally found your feet here with F&B, or are you going to be moving around and testing the waters for other stuff as well?
I think primarily my entire career is always been core F&B, yeah. Although I delve in the odd retail concept here and there.
Yeah.
But yeah, F&B is in the blood.
Why is it in the blood? Is it a family thing?
Not really. In fact, my father's a doctor, so I don't think that really applies. Probably failed that medical school application. But no, I think of all the industries that I've been in, F&B is the one that is the most dynamic in terms of being able to respond to the market, come up with marketing and operations and something that, you know, you can tweak and see the results almost within a few days or instantaneously.
Especially here in Malaysia.
Yeah, correct.
So tell me about the beginning of the concept of starting Royalty then. Where did the idea come from?
Right. So the idea was from our shareholders originally. They wanted a Malaysian concept based around a roti canai sort of wrap. So, of course, we went through many rounds of variation of it, but we settled on a roti canai wrap that would be able to customize and have different proteins and sauces, but a full Malaysian sort of concept and cuisine focus.
The testing of that must have been awful. There must have been so many times, you know, oh, this is great, try another one. Oh, this is great, try another one.
Yeah. you know, the amount of sambal I've eaten over the last 6-7 months was probably, let me say, I'm pretty sure I'm a qualified expert in sambal.
So what was the journey like then to kind of market product fit? You know, I mean, your right. shareholders are coming out, they're telling you this is what we want. Right. But genuinely, what was the kind of market research like behind it?
Right. So what happened was, this is probably the fastest concept I've designed, put together in basically my career. Mm. I actually came on board June last year, right? And within 3 months, we did the product research, multiple focus group testings. We started off with a test kitchen here in the Glow Damansara, tested with multiple flavors, different vendors. Of course, my background in QSR helps a bit, knowing the suppliers, but it was still an everyday new product, failures, go back to the drawing board again. But basically, we settled down with about 30 different combinations of wraps. But that, yeah, took about 3 months. And we opened our first store in September last year. So
very, very quick.
Very, very quick, yeah.
And kind of how did you, the focus groups that you had, was it easy enough for them to kind of decide which ones that they wanted, you know, which kind of products were offered?
No, I mean, again, Malaysia is so varied that different. So you find with the younger generation, they prefer something a bit stronger in flavor, whereas the older groups tend to shy away from that. They would also ask for something, you know, less sweet. So there were so many variations to it, but we came back to our core target market, which was 20 to 45. And that was, it's the majority of population in Malaysia. So we were focused on that.
Mm. And the idea of it being, you know, grab and go, I think, is something very interesting. Because for me, when I think of roti canai, it's like I'm going to go and sit in a mamak or whatever. I'm going to have a cup of tea and I'm going to slowly enjoy my roti canai. But then when I think about it, would I eat a roti on the go? Of course. You know, was that the kind of concept behind it?
Yeah, a little bit, but I think the if I can go back to a bit of the origin.
Yeah, please.
Right. Malaysians, I mean, we love our food.
Mm.
And our greatest dishes that we've come up with are always sit-down cutlery, whether it's an asam laksa or a char kway teow or a roti canai. Mm. It's always been that format.
Mm.
And I think when we were looking at it, how do we create a Malaysian sort of concept that is internationally or globally accepted, it has to be almost one hand handheld product, which, you know, in the world it's burgers,
sandwiches,
yeah, wraps,
yeah.
So that was where the original thought process came about, and that is why we created a sort of roti canai wrap, where you're able to take that and just be able to push that into different markets in the future.
Has there been any pushback from the roti canai purists?
You know, well, of course, there'll always be the purists. Uh-huh. You know, not being able to sit down, look at your roti canai being slapped around, and but you know, at the end of the day, it's a grab and go format. It's mainly the middle urban group, which is more accepting to new tastes and new formats. So I think for us, as long as we are clear on our target market, we try to shy away from the traditionalists.
Okay, let's take a short break here. Folks, of course, this is Open for Business here on BFM 89.9. I'm speaking with Keith Lowe. He's the CEO of Royalty, a local startup that runs a grab-and-go concept restaurant that offers a fresh take on Malaysia's most beloved dish, roti canai. We'll be right back after these messages on BFM 89.9.
Backing female ministers. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is, of course, BFM 89.9, the business station. So now you're back on Open for Business with me, Rich Bradbury, and Keith Lowe, the CEO of Royalty, a local startup that runs a grab-and-go concept restaurant that offers a fresh take on Malaysia's most beloved dish, roti canai. I don't think I'm exaggerating by saying that, would you, Keith? It is Malaysia's most beloved dish, right? Would you agree?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, it's head and head, really, though, isn't it? Nasi lemak and roti canai.
Teh tarik.
We could be sat here for a while, actually, listing them all off. I know Keisha, our producer's mouth is salivating as we're talking through this. So, okay, you've conceptualized the idea. The shareholders have come forward and said, look, this is what we want. How did you decide where you were going to open this place? You said you had a test kitchen fairly nearby.
Yeah, correct.
So, what was the idea behind location?
We wanted, again, coming back to the target market, which was very urban. I mean, the way it's going to be presented was very urban. It was very new. We started to think about potential locations, and Starling was the first, mainly because it was a very sort of a suburban mall where you get to test. Starling is basically quite an office crowd, plus the residential area of Uptown and DU and all that.
Mm.
So it was just a good testing bed to just kind of see where the product pricing and where it would take us. So, I mean, after the first 2-3 months, we kind of figured that out. And then that's why we went to New Central, which is a transportation hub, basically.
And what's the general feedback been like then? What's the kind of take-up rate on this new concept on roti? How busy have your outlets been?
For example, New Central, I probably made a mistake with the seating capacity. We don't have enough seats at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah, because we were designed as a grab-and-go concept, so seating was probably not the main priority. Yeah, probably a mistake on my part there. Malaysians do want to have a bit of sit-down, even though it's a handheld format.
Yeah.
We've been doing very well on New Central. Starling, again, was a test outlet that's doing averagely. Mm. And we just opened our Pavilion KL outlet. So we are waiting for that's only been 2 weeks only. Mm. We're trying to see how a grade A mall, high traffic grade A mall would do with our grab and go concept.
Mm. Now, Roti Canai, as we all know, is... It's one of those foods that it's relatively cheap, you know, and it kind of fills you up pretty quickly. How do you find the right price point? I mean, the locations that you're talking about, even though they are suburban, they're inside malls, you know, and those malls tend to be quite expensive when it comes to rental prices.
Right.
So how do you kind of justify your pricing when it comes to a food that most people associate as being fairly cheap, you know, and having to keep up and have enough profit while still having a roof over your head?
Well, the base is itself, Roti Canai is fairly affordable. Mm. What we are going on is an innovation type of aspect. Yes, you can. Roti Canai is the base, but you've got the roti telur now with basically a full piece of chicken fillet with veg, with your sambal sauce. And we package that all together. And look, this is a full meal, right? You're getting your proteins, your carbohydrates, and your basically vegetables all in one go.
Mm.
And it is if you've seen the product, it's basically like a 9-inch roti canai.
You see, I would have seen the product today had our producer not messed things up. I was expecting to have a bunch here in the studio when I got here today. I'm calling him out so many times today, he's going to get that all for the rest of the afternoon. He does realise that. Okay, let's talk a little bit about revenue then.
Right.
You've just opened your third outlet, you said.
Yeah.
How are things looking so far?
Pretty good. Our average outlet is... projected and is doing about 60,000 to 70,000 average a month. These are not big outlets. Again, they are grab and go outlets. Yeah. So we're always looking for spaces like 400 square feet to 600 square feet. Of course, our new central flagship is a bit bigger at 700 square feet. But yeah, we're always looking at that range. And that, I think, in terms of controlling the OPEX in a mall which has high rental. I think that's probably the best formula for us, and we need to be in high traffic areas. So
you need good foot traffic.
Yes, we do. So we don't have. We probably won't be having any shop block formats, and probably only focus on malls at the moment.
Mm. And what's your expectation for revenue for the rest of the year? Do you see it kind of sitting around that amount, or do you expect it to kind of pop up at some point?
It will pop up, of course, as the stores mature. We get that firm base of customers. It tends to, probably go up another 10-15% within the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the projection anyway.
What have the kind of I guess challenges been over the last few months as you've been setting up and as you've been identifying these areas and indeed testing your products? You're not a stranger to the startup world,
no.
You know, and obviously. Every entrepreneur has their own set of headaches and aches and pains. What about this business has been different compared to the other ones, if anything?
I think just by the fact that it's such a new process, even the staff even the staff that we've trained will need so much time to get used to the operations. So. Just getting that operations team up to speed, but when you're opening outlets at every 2 months or 3 months, that will take a strain on any organization. Mm. So what we're trying to do is really just train. Whenever we open a new outlet, get experienced staff from the first or second outlets to just move and kind of steady the ship for the new outlet. So, I mean, any F&B, any retail will always have the same issue.
The revolving door staff issues.
We've got, of course, we all know, no secret, the rising cost of all raw materials. Mm. Currency is a factor. Global circumstances are also a factor. Mm. Mm. But, I mean, this is all part and parcel of F&B. And we just have to... For us, I think the major thing is just to get staffed well-trained and just getting them up to speed as soon as possible. That's always going to be the challenge, and that's what our main focus is.
How long does that training process take then on average?
2 to 3 weeks at a store just to get the basics in, and then they'll be trained at the current stores, and then they'll be moved to the new stores to train for another 2 weeks or so before opening, now, just to get used to it.
You know, and I know that the kind of secret sauce of a good roti canai is the bread itself and the people that make that bread.
Right.
Are they the difficult ones to get?
Not in our case, because
is it automated?
In a sense. What we've... and again, because labor is such a big issue in this country, shortages and skill sets. Mm. What we've tried to do is make the process a lot easier for them. So we work with our vendors. All roti canai comes from a dough base somewhere from some supplier, right? So we work with our vendors. The dough itself is already pre-layered. So that's where the secret is, where you get layers in your roti canai. Those dough balls that delivered to our store. And what we have in place of, a roti canai master who's flipping the roti canai is that we have a hydraulic press.
Ah.
So that gives the amount of pressure, and instead of flipping, it just slams the roti canai into a perfect flaky sort of thing. And put
on the grill. You're making me hungry already. Okay, before we head into the news then, we've had a WhatsApp message, and I kind of want to just quickly touch on the products that you currently have right now. I mean, as we know, there's a lot more awareness of vegan food, vegetarian food. Right. What kind of options do you have currently? Do you have vegetarian options? Do you have vegan options?
We have vegetarian options. Of course, mostly it's... for example, we also do have a plant-based meat, which is in our menu. So we have about four variations of vegetarian choices now. We have a mushroom version, a pure veggie version, and we also have a, like I said, plant-based version, which we plant-based meat version anyway.
Okay. Another message coming in. Keith, any consideration for gluten-free wraps?
Well... We'll have to explore our vendors. It's not so straightforward, obviously. I don't think I've heard of a gluten-free roti canai.
Not yet.
In the market, but we will explore, no doubt.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I hope that answers your question. We'll be right back after these messages, of course. You're tuned in to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Buggy Free Minum. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to BFM 89.9. This, of course, is Open for Business. I'm Rich Bradbury. It's the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. This morning on the show, I'm speaking with Keith Lowe, the CEO of Roti, a local startup that runs a grab-and-go concept restaurant that offers a fresh take on Malaysia's beloved roti canai, priding themselves on an innovative approach featuring an automated roti canai pressing system together with customizable drinks station. Keith has not run away, I can confirm right now. He's still with me here in the studio. Now, of course, roti canai, despite what the Singaporeans might say or other, countries might say, is distinctly Malaysian, right? Yeah. And when it comes to a product like that, and it comes to your kind of merchandising, your marketing, and the way in which your product is seen, how do you go about making it look, feel, smell, and sound Malaysian?
Well, we always start from the real basic. I mean, even we call our products in Malaysian terms, like sambal meletup,
right?
Satay puas,
right?
And we try to keep that, and the team and everyone that comes to our outlets will feel that sort of made in Malaysia, yes, for the world, that kind of feel. So I think that's one of our core things that we try to implement into our new products, our look and feel of all the stores as well.
So with that in mind then, you clearly have intentions to take it outside of Malaysia and expand outside of Malaysia.
Yeah, I mean, the product itself was designed, as I mentioned before, to be a sort of global format. Mm. We do have plans for regional expansion, most likely within the Southeast Asia region first, before moving off to other parts of the world.
Other parts of the world being, if you were given the choice to go where?
Well, I would say, okay, first, definitely within the Southeast Asian region, Indonesia is a great market we're looking at.
Yeah.
If it was somewhere a bit further, I think the Brits are...
I was just going to say, Londoners would...
Right, Londoners and so goodbye shawarma, roti's coming.
Yeah. I mean, I was just saying to Keith during the break that, you know, I'd imagine... Something like this, and in England, you know, when people are coming out of the bars late at night on a Friday and Saturday evening, for years it's been kind of strangled by shawarma, and I could see this easily becoming something that people would...
I think so. I mean, looking at the Malaysians have gone over to the UK and that part of the world, they're doing relatively well, right? So, I mean, that's a natural fit for us. Anything with... the Middle East is another one, right? That's a reason why the Arabs love to come to Malaysia, love our food. Mm. We will send it over there soon. Mm.
Okay, so we've got to talk a little bit about money. And where did the funding from this come from? Have you raised capital to get into it? No.
Okay. This is pure shareholders, private money. We are funded that way, and will continue to be so until the... foreseeable future.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's that relationship with your shareholders like? Are they kind of hands-off or are they pretty hands-on?
They're pretty hands-on. Of course, you know, all shareholders or boards in the world will always want the maximum ROI in the quickest amount of time. But again, it's up to senior management to sort of guide the process. So I think we have a good relationship in that sort of sense. Yeah. Mm.
So what's the big dream then for Royalty? I mean, you said... Getting over to Indonesia, getting over perhaps to London, becoming a worldwide, internationally recognized brand?
I think that has to be the ambition for... we are designed to be a quick service restaurant, a QSR, and that requires a scale.
Yeah.
And definitely, Malaysia as a market is of a certain size, and you need to go to markets where there are slightly bigger populations to tap into this sort of thing. QSRs do. I mean, that's why there are different scales for different models, but QSR tends to be a volume based thing.
Have you had inquiries about franchising already?
Yeah, plenty. But we will look into. We'll probably announce something in July. And probably licensing, not franchising first.
Right.
But yeah, in July, most likely, there will be a model that we'll come out with. Probably not the full-scale model, but there will be a sort of model that we can put to the market.
Okay, so obviously people listening at home who are interested in trying your product, where can they find out more information? And which place is most likely for them? Where would you suggest they go first? To which outlet?
Well, all the outlets are fine, but they're basically the same. But of course, if you want the sort of ease, if you're within the KL area, New Central is our flagship outlet, the biggest. And I think that's a great starting point.
Yeah.
But we are in Starling and now recently in Pavilion.
Okay.
So, do pop by. We'll have more outlets coming up. More information, you can always get onto our website at... roti.co, check out our social media pages at the same handles.
Just before I let you go, we've got three outlets now currently. Mm-hmm. Where are the next? Can you give me maybe an indication of the next couple where they'll be popping up around town?
There will be definitely. We are looking at an outlet in Shah Alam, which we are going to open soon. Possibly in Old Klang Road as well. And the last one, which is definitely confirmed, is Sunway Pyramid.
Brilliant.
At the end of the year.
Keith Lowe, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks a lot, Richard.
Folks, I've been here in the studio, of course, with Keith Lowe, the CEO of Royalty, a local startup that runs a grab-and-go concept restaurant that offers a fresh take on Malaysia's beloved roti canai. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can listen to the podcast wherever you normally listen to them from. We recommend the BFM app. That's available in the Apple App Store or on the BFM website. We're going to take a short break. Don't forget, coming up after the 11 o'clock news, it is Matt Splained. It's a very happy show today. That's coming up just after the 11 o'clock news here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM
89.9. You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.